And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball Podcast. This is Ricky Hampton, editor and founder of the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com. And I'd like to introduce the star of the show, one and only, Mr. Derek Gervin, former New Jersey Net, Philadelphia 76ers, and the main man. In this endeavor. Derek, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm so glad we got the chance to get together tonight. Because, Derek, man, I am demanding some changes around here, man. Y'all got to do something for me here on the As Good As It Gets podcast, man. We got to make this thing... Forget it being about Derek Gervin. We got to make this about Ricky Hampton, man. I mean, come on. I'm trying to be a team player here. I've been to the Jimmy Butler School of team play, Derek. I'm trying to do like my man Jimmy Butler and get stuff done.
Wow. I wanted to say first, tell everybody hello, the listeners. I wanted to get into this Jimmy Butler thing tonight because it's, I guess that's our future. That's what we're looking at. I can understand where he's coming from as far as wanting to win. Well, he says he wants to win. And, you know, sometimes we want goals and we don't achieve those goals. But everything is about how you handle situations. Myself being a former player, you know, I know it's about the money, and I can understand that, and sometimes the location as well. But when it comes to your team, you have unwritten rules. And one of them is you don't bash your teammates. I mean, you bash them, you know, you have your disagreements in the locker room. But things don't go public. You don't start bashing players in public. And that's like, that's crossing the line. So I understand where Jimmy's coming from as far as wanting to be happy and wanting to be in the winning situation. But you're not contributing to making it a winning situation when you're talking negative and it becomes a trickle-down effect. I'm looking at the New York Giants were playing, and it's similar to what I said about Odell Beckham, a great player but with negative attitude. And on television, everyone speaks well, and, you know, they say it's not going to hurt the team, it's going to bring the team together and all that. That rarely happens. And I'm looking at the team, it's like guys, they quit. And that's what I'm afraid of right now with Minnesota going into the year. You're going to have some guys that are really not going to be happy. They might not voice their displeasure verbally out in, you know, the media, but you're going to have a lot of guys that's going to be unhappy, and that's how you tear up a team, tear a team apart.
And Derek, and I'd like to bring our other host in here, our good friend Michael Robertson, columnist for the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com. And welcome to the show, Mike, and we're going to get Mike in on this conversation. But, man, what you're saying pertains to anything. You know, I started the show off joking about being selfish and wanting everything to be my way as part of this team on the Derek Gervin As Good As It Gets basketball podcast. But there's no way we could be successful with an attitude like that. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but here in Detroit, the Detroit Tigers just fired their longtime baseball announcing team of 17 years, Rod Allen and Mario Impabida. And you know what was going on with this guy? No, these guys could never really work well together, but they were able to mask it for years on TV. But apparently, according to reports, they got to fighting over who had the most comfortable chair at a baseball game. I mean, and it's a question of whether they actually got into fisticuffs or not, but it was so heated that they had to be separated and they were taken off the road for like the final 12 games of the Tiger season. And it was made official yesterday that the two guys will not be back next year. And that's another example of a lack of teamwork. This was in the announcing booth, and it's something that you gotta have. And Mike, welcome, man.
Yes.
Get you in on this.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that because I remember the Cubs had some issues too. Steve Stone and those guys when Harry Carey used to be there. But then I think Dusty got into it with that broadcasting crew, and then all of a sudden that got broken up, and now they got a guy in there, Lynn Casper, that I've known in Milwaukee. So he got the pristine job of the Cubs announcers, which is, you know, that's national and worldwide. So to have that is pretty prestigious. But, yeah, it was like all kind of strife going on in the broadcast booth there. The White Sox, Hawk Harrelson, and all those guys, they're kind of getting into each other. So I definitely know what that's like to kind of have that little inside-outside deal going on with the broadcast crew. And then as for Jimmy, yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird because, you know, kind of connected because he went to Marquette, which is in Milwaukee. And, you know, humble guy. Comes from humble beginnings, you know, was homeless, I guess, for a while, and then went through Marquette kind of anonymously, and then, you know, emerged into a pretty good player. I guess you could call him a star. But, yeah, this stuff right now with the just the outlandish practice and, you know, the verbiage that's being cast all around. So I don't know. And then they didn't even have practice today. Supposedly there was a meeting.
Right.
An emergency
yeah.
meeting amongst the players. So, yeah, so it's like, what are we doing here? The season's going to start, what, next Tuesday, right? So I'm like,
he's holding up progress by not – they couldn't even practice this guy. And just for any of our listeners who aren't aware of what's going on, Jimmy Butler, all-star forward for the Minnesota Timberwolves, is demanding a trade from the Timberwolves. I don't know where he wants to go, but he definitely doesn't want to be in Minneapolis. And he has just really been raising hell. At first he held out, and now he's here and he's raising hell, disrupting practice. Derek, if a guy came into one of your practices when you played talking stuff like that, what would be your reaction?
Mine would probably be like about five or six other guys. We'd be probably back then, we'd be knuckling up, just being honest. That wasn't tolerated in our era. And our era is a physical era, as you know. So that meant in the practice as well, in the locker room. Sometimes guys had disagreements. You know, you had fights. I just hate to say it, but it's true. You had fights back then, and that's how guys settled things. Back then, you settled it, and the next day it was over with. Today, you bring guys out in the media, you talk bad about them on social media. It's not good. It's not only good as not as a team player, but it tells a lot about you don't go out there and assassinate your own teammates. These are the guys you go to war with, and I hate to use that term, but it is. I mean, these are the guys you're with all the time. You're with them more than you are your family during the season. So sometimes, say this trade doesn't go through right now, because it looks like it's going to have problems because of assets. The other teams don't seem to have the assets to get Jimmy Butler right now. So it looks like a situation right now where he will be starting the season in Minnesota. So you can't tell me that's not going to affect Andrew Wiggins. It's not going to affect Karl-Anthony Towns. And remember, those guys have friends on the team as well that were there before Jimmy Butler got there. So the friends are, you know, they won't speak up verbally. But you have guys, that's a situation where you're tearing a locker room apart. It's like the Steelers, the Le'Veon Bell situation. Some things should not be brought out in public.
Right.
And you work them out in the locker room, behind the closed doors. You don't publicize what's going on because it's an internal thing. And I know the times have changed today, but these guys got to stop being so sensitive, man. I mean, come on.
Man.
They offered you 4 years. You mad because they offered you 4 years. Now, this is what upsets me about Jimmy, and I'm not going to take much longer, but I got to say this. He claims it's not about
show,
money.
Your show, brother.
But I'm just saying, I want Mike to chime in as well, and I want to hear, I hope a fan or two calls in tonight. You say it's not about money, but then you turn around, and you're upset because they offered you 4 years and they offered Wiggins and Towns 5 years. So if you're upset about that, sounds like that's money. So don't say it's not money when you're on their television talking about you being honest about everything. You're telling Rachel Nichols, I'm being honest. Now, you know me. I've been honest about this, honest about that. And it's not about money. So if it's not about money, why isn't he staying in Minnesota trying to make that team better since he considers himself a superstar? You go suck it up, and then next year when you're a free agent, you go out there and you get the best opportunity, the best job for yourself. But right now you keep your mouth closed and you go out and play basketball. That's just my opinion.
And you're listening to Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball podcast with former NBA veteran Derek Gervin and Ricky Hampton and Michael Robinson of the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com. Hey, Mike, if you are a GM and you got an interest in Jimmy Butler and you see all this going on, is that going to make your offer a little lower, thinking like, hey, man, this guy's killing his own value. I was willing to give a first-round pick, but I don't know about now. Maybe I'll give him a second or something like that, or a lesser player.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about it is that as a GM, you got to sit there and say, well, this dude turn on me in a year or two, you know, or will I be going through the same drama with him next year, you know. So, you know, and you know, of course me, I incorporate Mr. Irving into that same scenario, you know, sitting there demanding a trade in the middle of his contract. So it's funny how, you know, one is perceived a little differently. It's like, well, this dude wanted to leave because LeBron made him want to leave. But now this dude's complaining. Now, is anyone going to say Cat or Wiggins is making him want to leave? So, or even the coach. So that's what I'm wondering is that, both of them, I thought, was egregious anyway, because like I said, like Derek said, out of your contract. Then when you're a free agent, you go wherever you want to. And that's the one thing I keep saying when people try to criticize LeBron about, well, he keeps jumping teams. Like, he's leaving as a free agent, which is right, which Kurt Flood, the late Kurt Flood would be proud of. You know, then Oscar Robertson and all those guys that did it for basketball. He'd be proud of that you could actually leave as a free agent, just like Kevin Durant. I don't have any problem with him going to another team, but it's the fact that you ran your mouth 6 years ago talking about, man, why are these guys going to leave and go to the Miami, go to the Lakers, and why don't you just, you know, stick with it and beat these people? And then you turn around and basically contradict yourself big time. Then you go, not only do you go to a team, you go to a team that was considered the best ever and a team that you just choked against. So that's what my problem with him was, not that he left as a free agent, because, like, that's your right. I would be mad if you didn't take advantage of that.
Well, you know what? Going back, and that's one of the rights certainly NBA players have had because they have guaranteed contracts. You know, I NFL players, that's a whole different story there, because really, when you look at it, in essence, the contract they signed isn't worth the paper it was written on. I remember a couple of years when years ago when Ndamukong Suh left Detroit for Miami, he signed a $124 million contract. But everybody knew he'd never see the end of that contract, no matter how much no matter how well he played, because the NFL does not honor their contracts to their players. So I don't have a problem when players don't honor their contracts to NFL teams and try to get the best deal that they want. But I love what you guys are saying about this this whole issue. And, you know, I'm just wondering the message that it sends to some of the younger players. And Derek, having been in locker rooms like that, is this a cancer? Is this something that can turn other young players to start thinking maybe the way Jimmy Butler does if he gets away with it?
Well, I don't think he's getting away with it. I think some of the guys will learn from it and take it a positive way. You know, everyone doesn't like – sometimes you have to speak up for other guys, all right? I like Jimmy Butler. I want to reiterate what I said earlier. I think his point, I understand the point clearly, and I'm for him 100% for trying to get his money. It's just the way he's going about it.
Yeah.
You know, we are role models for these kids, and we can keep talking about, you know, leading them the right way. There are better ways to handle the situation. If you have a problem with management, I can understand that. Go talk to management. Why does the media have to know about that? You got a problem with your teammates, talk to your teammates. These are men. These aren't kids. This isn't college. So these guys have families. They can take it. Some of them aren't all really Jimmy's kind of thin-skinned, Durant's thin-skinned, but then you got other guys that aren't. Talk to them like men, and you bond together. A team that bonds together, you don't have to be the most talented team. It's just teams that make the right plays. That makes up a little bit for the athleticism and the skill set. When you got guys that will fight, five guys on the floor that will fight and bond together. I'm looking at this Laker team. And, you know, I've talked about LeBron before, and, you know, I've joked with you guys, and I really think the guy's a great player. I'm looking at the team last night. He's bringing that team together. They're going to be a scary team. And Jimmy Butler should be taking that same attitude. And what? And I go back to what Michael said. LeBron does do it when he's a free agent, and there's nothing wrong with that. And but now he's home. He's in L.A., and he's bringing those guys together. You tell me why Jimmy Butler shouldn't be trying to do the same for Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. He's upset, so they must be good players. He says they're soft, so why don't you try to toughen them up? You can't do that through the media.
So, Derek, I mean, think about this, man. As Mike said earlier, the season starts next week. He has been so disruptive, they had to cancel a practice this late in the year. These practices are important as you get ready for the start of your season. And he can't even go out and conduct a practice because they're scared he's going to disrupt everything on the practice floor.
He's already – Jeff Teague denied there was any meeting at all. He said there, he said there was no meeting. So he doesn't even really want to address it. Everybody's not happy with the situation. These guys know what's been going on behind closed doors. Now, here's the biggest issue if you look at the overall picture. Is this the first team Jimmy Butler's caused problems in?
Nope.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you're looking at it as an owner – a president of a team, a general manager of a team. Do you want to bring that cancer in today when you're dealing with young, sensitive guys? These guys are not as tough-skinned as they used to be. So you don't want to bring a guy in that's going to make things go worse and teach the guys the wrong way to handle situations. Because if these young guys follow Jimmy's lead, then you're going to have some owners and general managers pulling their hair out of their head pretty soon.
We're listening to Derek Gervin's Gifts Against Basketball podcast. We got some callers who have lined up. And right before we go to them, I want to go back to what you stated at the beginning of the show, because I don't know if all of our listeners heard. If somebody, when you played, if somebody was calling y'all soft and saying all these disparaging things about you at before practice, what was going to happen when you guys went to practice?
Well, we knuckled up back then. There was no talking. You know, these guys today, this is a talking era. You know, you hear people say NBA players can't fight. I don't know where that came from. It's just they don't want to fight. They don't want to fight because they know they could throw their careers away and you could seriously injure someone. But it's don't ever think you can't fight. They're men. Now, we settled things a little differently back then, and then the next day you hug, and you hug at the end of the day, and then the next day it's a new day.
Well, don't forget the brother in Chicago, Ricky and Derek, that broke dude's jaw and pretty much put his career in jeopardy, and they're about to throw him out off the team. So just like you said, Derek, you can't do that stuff now. You know, just think if that was a team with Rick Mahorn and Oakley.
Yeah,
Jimmy was doing that kind of nonsense.
I don't think he'd have been saying it.
Right. Or and don't forget my guy Mason. Don't forget Mason.
Right. Ain't nowhere in the world he'd have been saying that with Anthony Mason on that roster. But you know, and mentioning that, I remember back here in Detroit during the Bad Boy era. I mean, those guys fought in practice all the time. Lambeer and Isaiah, they've gone at it on multiple occasions. And it was like it wasn't even that big a deal. You hear about a scuffle in practice, and it was like Isaiah was always in the middle of that stuff when he was here in Detroit. But it didn't stop them from accomplishing what they did. They were just, I assume, was just getting after each other back then, Derek.
Isaiah and Mike Jordan should have had a good old scrap and then went ahead and played in the Olympics.
Exactly.
And moved forward.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, let's see if we can get a couple of callers on the air. I'm going to call out your area code and the last four digits of your number, starting with area code 678, the last four digits, 1936. You're on Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, family? How y'all doing? It's Coach Mack. Derek,
right.
How you doing, man? Just checking out the podcast, man, listening in.
Doing fine. Thank you for calling in.
Absolutely, absolutely. What's up to everybody else on the line, too, as well, man. Great show y'all got going on, man. I love the dialogue every week, man. It's beautiful, man. So, you know, just checking in, listening out. Trying to get some bills, man.
Are you a coach? You coach basketball, football, or?
Yes, sir. I coach basketball. I'm a basketball coach, trainer, all that great stuff.
Well, as a coach, talk to us about how you would approach a situation if you had a player like Jimmy Butler, no matter what level it may be.
Jimmy's situation is tough, man. It's real tough for sure. You know, he definitely came on a better route, you know what I'm saying, with what he's trying to do. I think as a coach, you know, you got to grab that guy and, you know, you just sit down and you got to have that heart-to-heart, you know what I mean? And if it's to the point where there's no, you know, no actual resolution, and then, you know what I mean, then you go from there. But, I mean, it don't even really sound like, you know, their situation, because, you know, but, you know, how they do in the media and stuff, you know what I'm saying? One person saying one thing, one person just not saying. So, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different elements that people don't know, and, you know what I'm saying? It ain't, you know, for me to say here and there, but, you know, at some point you just got to, you know, it's your job as a coach to control the environment of what's going on with your team. And, you know, that guy's obviously not creating a good environment. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
You know, that's a good point, Coach, and caller and Coach, who is the caller is a coach. Derek, how much of this is on Coach Thibodeau?
Your name, did you say your name is Mac?
Yes, sir. It's Mac.
Oh, yeah, I just want to make sure I got the name right, because I'm going to turn this on to you now, because you're a coach as well. You got Tom Thibodeau. Now, here's the situation that a lot of people might not be aware of. Thibodeau is very close. He wants Jimmy Butler as a player. I don't know about their relationship,
right,
in the, you know, as friends, but as a player, he's very high on Jimmy Butler. And then on the other side, you got Glenn Taylor that wants – he's about the young guys. He's more – wants to keep Wiggins and Towns happy. How do you think a situation like that – I know that could tear up a locker room, but as far as the coach, how do you think that wears on – what does that do for Tom Thibodeau? For as far as, does this help his, his leadership, or does it hurt as far as dealing with the players now?
Oh, well, for sure. You know, anytime you got, you know, and just from my experiences, you know, I've coached a semi-pro team as well. And anytime that you have a disconnect between, you know, coach and ownership, and ownership and players, you know, whenever you got different relationships there, you know what I'm saying? That's going to be a problem first and foremost, you know what I'm saying? Because if the coach ain't on the same page, or if the owner's not on the same page with the coach, you know what I'm saying, that relationship never going to go well. Players see it. They understand it. You know what I mean? They'll go right over your head as a coach and go straight to ownership, you know what I'm saying? So that's already a toxic relationship, to say the least. And, you know what I'm saying, I'm not really familiar with, you know, that level of basketball and how that situation works, you know what I'm saying? I have a little more control over what we do. So, you know, for me, if I have a disruption there from a parent or a player, you know, you can't be a part of what we're trying to do. Chemistry is very big for me in my organization, as far as my kids and my parents. I mean, if you can't get along with parents, then, you know what I'm saying, there's no sense of togetherness, you know what I'm saying? And that division will sprinkle down to your program as well. So,
But you know, that's very great points you make, Matt, because it does not matter what level it may be. If you don't have a team, give me the team where everybody's on the same page against mm-hmm. the team where there's disarray, confusion, and mm-hmm. bickering. And I'm taking the team with everybody on the same page every time. What are your thoughts on that, Mike Roberts?
I'm sorry.
Okay,
it's team, man. You know what I'm saying? First and foremost, that's what it's about. You know, I always tell my players, it's not tennis. You know what I'm saying? If you want an individual sport, if you want, you know, individual accolades, go play tennis. Go play, you know what I'm saying, whatever. Like, basketball, it's about those five people that's on that court and however many you got on that sideline. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's five people trying to accomplish one goal. And if everybody's not accomplishing that one goal, then, you know what I'm saying, that leaves a gap, that leaves, you know, a space for a lot of problems.
Wow. Thank you so much, Matt. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so for me, I coach basketball, but track was like the big thing for me, so you got more individualism there. But you still mm-hmm. have the team aspect with the relays and all that. So I know what that's like, trying to cultivate that and dealing with the parents, because I did it on the high school level. And it was so much different from coaching at a private school when I was in Pennsylvania as opposed to a public school out here in Cali. So you deal with that different aspect. But that's the reason why when you get on the high level like pro basketball, why you got to give Phil so much credit, because probably I would say 50% was X's and O's and another 50% was management, just managing. Just think of the egos he had to manage. Kobe was
right
off the hook. And then you got Michael with his antics. And then, of course, Scotty, you know, with the 1.8 seconds left. So, you know, that nonsense which probably could have ended his career if Kukoc doesn't hit that jumper. And then you got Shaq. And then just all these personalities he dealt with and was still able to win, 11 championships. So, and people think it was just that easy. But you see how it was a grind. I'm sure it took years off his life.
Hey. You got to have them together. And Derek, what is it that, were you ever in any locker rooms that were fractured? And once they go bad, like a situation like this, is there any way this can be repaired?
I kind of was fortunate. When I played with the Nets, we weren't winning at the time. But I had Bill Fitch was my head coach. And as you know, he was a champion when he coached the Celtics, Bird, McHale, and Perry Celtics. So there was structure in the locker room. There were certain things that weren't tolerated. And plus, as men, we all, you know, guys had to get on the same page. So if you want to win, it's any sport or any age, you have to be together. And you have to really, what a lot of teams today I notice, you have to like each other. If you're going to play, if you want to win, if you really notice it, you guys really look at sports like basketball, baseball, football. The teams that bond together, those are usually the successful teams. You look at the Warriors. These guys go out and eat together. They go to the movies together. Things like that. It's the little things that are not noticed that go under the carpet. The little, you know, the little things. Those are the things that mean so much. And when you're dealing with kids, it's the same thing. It's supposed to be teachable moments. And I'm glad Mac mentioned the parents, because that was big. And you guys know how I feel. We got a lot of parents that have good intentions, but sometimes they go over the line and they forget what the goal is. And they also forget who's in control of the minutes.
No doubt.
The coach is in control. So the parents can do all the, you know, the yelling and all of that. All they're doing is really alienating their kids from the team. The coach is going to make his decision, and he's going to make what's best for the organization or what's for the team. So that's the problem in sports today. We're getting a little more caught up on the me thing because you see the pros and all the social media. But kids need to start taking it step by step. Don't worry about the social media. Don't worry about the Fortnite. Start getting your behind in those books. And then when you get in your particular sport, you become a team player. If you're going to play a team sport, you be a team player. There's no I in team. There's I in winning.
Yeah, good one, good one. Hey, Coach Mack, have you ever had kids? And I saw Derek had something about this on social media, where you're playing the game and your kid is looking in the stands at his uncle or his dad or his mom trying to get direction from them. But how do you set the rules for the coach-player-parent relationship? Is that something you do from the very beginning, or you take it case by case?
Yeah, most definitely. You definitely, you know, I in my experience, you know, I've always, you know, in the bud, so to speak, because, you know, there can only be one coach as far as, you know, who's relaying what's going on. And, you know, if you're getting that from the stands and, you know, wherever else, you know, your kid is getting it from, then, you know, there's really no room for me to be there as a coach. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you don't know what my direction is that I'm trying to do, and you're giving conflicting information. So, you know, I'm telling five kids to do one thing, and, you know, you telling your kid to do one thing. So, like I said, it goes back to that togetherness and five people trying to accomplish one goal. For me, you know, I've not really had that, you know, be an issue. I mean, to me, I feel like if you hire me as a coach, you know what I'm saying, because that's what you're doing when you bring your child to my program or to our academy, you know what I'm saying, you hire me as your coach. So, you know, that's my job to coach. If you're coaching, there's no room for me. I'm not doing my job, you know what I'm saying. So, me personally, you can't be a part of my program coaching from the stand. Now, you're more than welcome to come on the sideline, you know what I'm saying, I got plenty of space, but from the stands, it doesn't work.
Well, Coach Mack, man, we really appreciate you checking in with us tonight. I hope you keep listening to the show and keep tuning in to Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball podcast.
Oh, yeah, every week. I'll be here.
Hey, Mack.
Thank you, bro.
Appreciate you, my man. I'm hoping you can tune in. We'll probably be doing another show Monday, as soon as Monday. I'm going to have John Lucas on. So the time will be announced probably be like Saturday or Sunday. But I hope you
That's
can tune in again, and we appreciate you, really, man, sincerely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And to all our listeners out there, if you don't catch us live, you can always go to the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com website, and you can get Derek's podcast. You can get Michael Robinson and Ricky Hampton's columns and some of Derek. Derek is beginning to do some columns for us, in addition to some of our other podcast programs. Michael Robinson and I host the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com radio show on Tuesdays. And if you don't catch us live, it's always put up on the site where you can catch the audio replay. But, Coach Mack, thank you so much, man, for checking in with us. And fellas, we are less than a week from the start of the season. Is there anything, Derek and Mike, that you've seen over the preseason to make you change some of your thoughts going into the start of preseason?
Well, let me just say that Derek and I just had a funny exchange late night. For some reason, we're on late night just going back and forth on Facebook about Ingram and other players. But, you know, it's all good, though. But, yeah, but I, you know, a lot of people are just excited about Ingram. I just didn't feel he had that it yet. But I guess it should be coming. So we'll see how this Lake and LeBron seems to think that he's going to be a vet. But how do we know that's not star player speak? You know, you want to speak up into existence with your players. So that's what I'm saying, that's going to be interesting to see them besides LeBron, but just to see the Lakers, period. And then, of course, you want somebody to challenge the Warriors. And even though, like I said before, they've had some vulnerable moments anyway, so it's not like they've been totally invincible, but they'll seem to somehow persevere, as we saw with Houston, because that looked like that series is over. And all of a sudden, Chris Paul limps up, and I said, oh, my gosh. So hopefully somebody could actually, you know, flip the script here in the playoffs, because, I mean, dynasties are cool, But when it doesn't even seem like there's any competition, then that's a whole different thing. Because at least when the Bulls are winning, the Knicks were up there. The Knicks were up there, and the Pacers were up there. They were fighting the Bulls. They just couldn't get past them. Now it's looking like nobody's really fighting them. You know, and especially
hey, Mike,
all the
Mike, you,
accolades. Yeah.
I'm sorry, yes? I didn't mean to cut you off, Mike. I was just saying, you're in the Bay Area.
Right.
Have they lost JaVale McGee? How do they replace him? I thought he was very valuable for them in the playoffs last year. Have they added anything outside, of course, bringing in Boogie?
Right.
Are there any other additions you like on this team that will, or maybe you don't like about what they've done for this year?
Well, the thing about it is that they got the young center that came from Oregon that they thought was a great pickup. And they got to just do the, substitute.
Looney
until,
and Gomez.
Right. And then, yeah, Looney, of course, Looney, from Milwaukee. So, of course, he's one of my favorite players on the team. So, yeah, so you get Looney and I'm forgetting his name, but he's the center from Oregon. Right. Jones. So you got those guys in there, and I guess there's going to be a stopgap. I guess they figure they're good enough that they'll be a stopgap until – hopefully they think Boogie comes. I mean, and we'll see. I mean, hopefully, I don't want to see it happen to anybody, but you never know if Boogie comes back and has another setback. So this could, this looks like it's going to be like, oh, man, they're going to get this Boogie, and then I already got a good team. They're going to be absolutely untouchable, but you never know if this Boogie thing even works. But if it does, then it will be pretty ugly to watch.
Derek,
well,
anything you've seen throughout the preseason?
I can't mention one team because I'm so excited. I'm gonna go. This is gonna be quickly. If you go down to the Western Conference, okay, you got Golden State, you got Houston, you got Oklahoma. Now I'm talking about teams. All these teams have a potential to be really good. Oklahoma State,
yeah.
Utah, Denver's gonna be better than last year. I'm worried about my Spurs because of the injuries, and I don't know what they're going to do as far as making a trade for a guard. But then you go to Boston, Toronto, Philadelphia. I believe Golden State has competition this year. And this is, if you really think at it from top to bottom, this is you're going to have most of the teams are going to be improved. So I'm looking at, I'm just excited about the entire season. I really think Golden State will be challenged. As you gentlemen know, last year I picked the Houston Rockets. I'm picking right now the Houston Rockets again. So my final I have this year, starting off the top, I have Houston Rockets and Toronto Raptors in the finals. So I'm excited to get it started.
What is it you like about Houston to give them that edge in terms of what they've done to that roster this year?
It seems that the Carmelo James Ennis thing is flowing right now. Carmelo's accepting coming off the bench. He gets a chance to lead that second unit. And if you look at it, they're going to make another deal somewhere during the year. They will get another guy. I would hope it would be like Kent Bazemore, that kind of guy, someone that can slide their feet on defense to make up a little bit for the loss of Ariza and Mabute. So they will get another guy that can play perimeter defense. And I think they'll put up a lot of points. And Golden State's vulnerable. I'm going to be honest. I didn't really like them with Looney and Damian Jones. Teams will be attacking that basket, believe me. So they talking about Durant and his defense around the rim. We get ready to find out how good it is now because there's no JaVale McGee. Oh, I mean it. I watched JaVale. JaVale is a beast. Shaq can make Shaq can improve what he wants. JaVale is a beast.
He has really found himself, hasn't he, Derek?
That guy covers that basket, and he runs that floor. So what do you want? I mean, he's a rim protector. You're going to see they're going to miss him a lot, believe me. His 20 minutes or 15 minutes that he played with Golden State, but his energy, and that's something they can't replace. I watched the two guys yesterday. I like Looney and Jones, but they don't really look that big. So we'll see what happens.
So can we say this now? Can we say JaVale is finally better than his mother, the Hall of Fame player Pam McGee?
No way.
He's doing well.
He's doing, Mike, what do you think? I think he's playing excellent. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, but not better than his mother. His mother.
No, not
and, definitely not his. I don't know if Cheryl was his godmother, but definitely not better than Cheryl either.
But he does. You think he fits? Do you think he fits with the? He looks like he fits with LeBron quite
yeah,
well.
Once again, what I always say is LeBron makes people better. That's what I'm saying. That you know, and Golden State absolutely changed his whole outlook of basketball. I mean, I'm sure he got a lot of advice from his mother, but just being in that system, I think it gave him supreme confidence because, like I said,
yeah.
He was that was a clown show. And then think about it. Three of those guys are champions now for that Washington Wizards team. Swaggy P, JaVale, and who was the third one?
From Washington.
No, he missed
it. Swaggy P, JaVale, and there was one other one I think that was on there that ended up with the championship. But, you know, maybe it's just those two. But it's just that whole team was, like, looked at as, you know, comic relief, especially after the gun incident and all that stuff. Then it was just like, yeah. Okay, we're going to do all the Shaq and the Fool highlights with these two are in the Hall of Fame, and now they both are champions.
But you know who looks good with the Lakers guys is my man from the Pacers.
Lance Stevenson.
Lance
Stevenson.
Born ready.
Now I guess Ricky, you mentioned Lance. Now here's the thing. Here's the only downside because I like Lance's energy, but you know I guess you got to live with it. Lance, you know he's trying to play a different style. So they're trying to move the ball. You know, Lance likes to dance and play around with the ball.
Right.
So
yeah.
I guess you gotta live with that because he brings so much energy. That's the one thing that I wonder about as far as them going down to the season. How much will Lance play? Because you got to have him on the floor. But I guess if you use him for 15 minutes, I guess it'll work out because they're not going to have that hole in the ball. There's only one guy we know will be holding that ball, and we know that's number 23. But even with this team, I think he'll move the ball a lot more. I think LeBron will play off the ball a lot more this year. This might be a blessing for LeBron. I think this year he might willingly play off the ball. There are a lot of times during the game where he can rest and trust Alonzo and he can trust Rondo. And then you got Brandon Ingram also to handle the ball. So he's got it. This might be really, really LeBron's best chance. This might be the best team overall that he's had from top to bottom.
Wait a minute. Better than the championship teams in Miami?
You want to know it, Ricky? I've been having this debate with people. I say, you know what? Everybody keeps making it seem like he joined the Warriors, like Kevin Durant did. He joined a team that won 47 games. And, yeah, the Bosch came down there, but Bosch was only winning 40 in Toronto. So it wasn't like he went – I mean, he made that team championship ready. But after you get past those two, it was pretty much a mediocre team. Not like what Dwayne Wade had before him in Miami when he had Shaq, Lonzo Mourning, and all those other good pieces that really made that team go. That Miami team was pretty limited, and I think putting those contracts together – it kind of hampered them to really get some stud, you know, bench players. I mean, you had guys that were, like, very came up with some good clutch moments, like Mike Miller, of course. He was former rookie. But he was injured. He was banged up. Wade got banged up. Bosch played like he was banged up at times. Udonis was still there, but, you know, Udonis wasn't the way he used to be. And James Jones could barely get on the court. Every once in a while, he get a shot. But that team, you know, once again, LeBron made that team championship material because if he was gone, they were nowhere near that. They may have won. They could have possibly got 40-something wins with both of those together, but I don't think they would have eclipsed 50. And I definitely don't think they would have gone to the final.
But Derek,
yes, sir.
I think all three of us agree LeBron – going to L.A. was far more than just basketball. if you look what he's doing in his life off the court, doing a lot of movies, and they have a great documentary out now that he produced called Student Athlete, and I would advise all of our listeners to check that out on HBO, the documentary Student Athlete, which is produced by LeBron James. But Derek, and Mike, I'd like to hear your opinion after Derek. If LeBron was really trying to win now, wouldn't he have gone to Philly or maybe Houston?
Well, I'm going to tell you guys, and then I'm going to let you and Mike answer, because this is why I'm going to tell you guys why this is the best team he's been on. You guys mentioned the Miami Heat, right? And they had good players, Mike Miller and Ray Allen and those guys, Shane Battier. You go to Cleveland, had some, you know, to me, Boogie Gibson and those guys, they weren't scrubs.
Right.
They're not G-League players. But this is why he's on his best team right here. LeBron is, what, 34 now? Been in the league 16 years. This is his 16th year. Now the game has changed. Now every player has to be able to play on both ends, right?
Right.
You got to be able to defend, and you got to be able to play on the offensive end. So you got the game has changed. These guys are young, and they're on their way up. Brandon Ingram has a chance to be a very good player. Kuzma has a chance to be a very good player. So that's Ingram, Kuzma. Ball has a chance to be a very good player. The guy averaged 10 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists as a rookie. So if you put those guys, they got even Sophie McKillick. He has the potential to be a good player. So it's just going to take time. And when I say time, I don't mean years. This year, they're going to get better as the year goes on. LeBron has some horses now. And then you throw in the experienced players. And he's not just average players. Rondo is very good at his job, one of the smartest players to ever play. Lance Stevenson knows his role. We know with him blowing in your ear, whatever it takes. So these guys, they know their roles. So when these guys talk about talent, if they blend together, I'm telling you, they're going to be a good team. I said they win 54 games. I got them at 52, 54, I'm just saying.
I wasn't saying 52, I was saying 50 also. 54 also.
Yes. Yeah, I think they're gonna be good. But Ricky.
So, go ahead.
No, you asked about LeBron about being in LA.
Yeah.
You know
why
I'm happy that he's in L.A.? LeBron has started a trend, man. He said it when he came in. That Paul, those guys here with, Rich Paul, whatever, those guys here with, man, they are geniuses. This guy had a plan, and he had a plan at 18, and now it's coming to fruition. LeBron had this all mapped out, man. I'm telling you, this guy is that intelligent. It was going to be L.A.
I agree with that. I remember when he signed writing a column on the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com talking about he is the template for superstar athletes in the future. The way he's been able to control his career and do business off the court, I mean, anybody coming up would do well to follow the model he has set. But still, you say that. I understand what you guys are saying about the Lakers. But tell me about what would happen if he'd gone to Philly. Why is Philly not a better fit than L.A.? I'm talking strictly basketball now.
My answer is quick. Mike, can I answer this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Philly would have been a good team for him, but here's the issue with Philly. What would that do to Ben Simmons' game?
Right.
What would that do to Markelle Fultz's game? I'm just going to mention those two, because these are two guys they're going to be riding with, I believe, for the long term. Fultz is showing that he can play. I mean, he can play. And as he gets healthier and the confidence comes back, you're going to see a heck of a player. Ben Simmons, that's taking him off the ball. So you bring in LeBron, isn't that taking Ben Simmons off the ball? Simmons is there. I think Ben Simmons is really more important than Embiid because Embiid, I hate to say it, but you know, the injury situations.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons has potential to be one of the greatest, and that's even not being able to shoot. So you can't take the ball out of his hands. That's the only reason I didn't think it would work. Kawhi would.
Okay, I'm gonna take you back across the country, Mike. So what do you do with Lonzo Ball in L.A. because you got Rondo? Who's going to be the starting point guard opening night?
For me, I look at it as a temporary thing. But think about it, he's still coming off an injury. So you bring in Rondo to give him tutelage, and then also to show him on the court, like, this is how you do it. This is a professional point guard, also a champion point guard. Even though he fell apart in 2010, still, though, be that as it may, he still is a championship point guard. And he still showed he had that gusto what he did in New Orleans. So they were, like, rolling, you know. Now, Dallas was a whole different thing, but people thought he was done at that point. But when he showed that he could get these young players playing well and show great leadership, so I think that that's probably what Walt is looking at, is that this guy could only help Lonzo of how to run a team, how to be a point guard, and it definitely helps to have, you know, arguably the greatest player ever, definitely the greatest player now, but I'm just saying, just to have somebody like that, and just amazes that when you get people say, I don't want to play with him, but then that's more of an indictment on you, because why would you not want to play with somebody that's going to only make you better?
Ricky, you and Mike, you guys are talking about who's going to back up the other one. Now, have you guys thought about this? Because the Lakers are going to be going small ball a lot this year. Why can't they play together? Rondo at the one, Ball at the two, and that doesn't matter because they're interchangeable. LeBron at the three, Kuzma at the four, or Ingram at the four, Kuzma at the five. So you can play them together, and it's going. I'm sure as the season goes on, they will play together. So I'm calling it out right now. It's not going to be a situation that the starter plays 8 minutes, the reserve comes in the last 4 minutes of the first quarter, and then vice. You know, they do the same thing the second quarter, second half. That's not going to happen. These guys are going to spend a lot of time on the floor together because they have very high basketball IQs. And you put that with LeBron. The game is not seven-footers. If they are, they're outside playing. So these guys are going to have – you got to have the three high IQ ball players on the floor at the same time, and I guarantee you'll see that a lot this year.
However, Derek, what if they implement that Dallas Maverick method of playing the zone and saying that you guys out here in the backcourt got to show that you can hit a shot, and we're going to pack in this lane, or we're going to actually do a boxing one on LeBron. So you guys better hit some shots. What happens then?
Okay. Well, I got an answer for you because I'm already ahead of you on that one. The season, you already know they're going to make a trade. Eventually, the Lakers are going to make a trade for another wing player, a shooter.
Okay. Right.
So that's what I hope people have thought about that because I already have. They're going to try to get his kid, Mihalik or whatever his name. I saw him play yesterday. He looked terrible, but I know it's still early, and he looked like a fish out of water. So if he can't cut it, you guarantee they're going to have shooters around LeBron. So this team you see right now is not going to be the team that you see the entire year.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. Derek sounds like he's fired up, Mike. Let's go, baby. it's going to be a great year. We only got a couple more minutes left on Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets basketball podcast. And we started the show off talking about Jimmy Butler and had a great conversation about that. And it's really, man, you know, you just can't do it that way, Derek. It seems to me, how can anybody respect him after this? You can't win without me. Y'all ain't nothing without me. Now you got to go play with this guy. I mean, it seems like eventually he's going to get his way because, hell, you can't even have a practice Mike, they had to cancel practice today.
Hey, Ricky, the players have been controlled for so long. I guess now they're trying to give them all the freedom that they can. I just got to watching Odell doing his pouting thing, you know, as usual.
Yeah.
You know, the cancer I keep talking about. So you look at that Jimmy Butler situation. They can talk all they want. Once you call players out, that's a fractured relationship. Those two guys are men. They probably have families. I don't know if they're married, have kids or whatever, but they have parents. And this situation is something that shouldn't happen. So the best, what I see is a trade is imminent, but when is the question. So we'll just see what happens. Either way it go, I wish Jimmy Butler well, and I wish the Minnesota Timberwolves well.
Hey Derek, we only got about 90 seconds here, but what is the atmosphere of a fractured locker room? I mean, what is it? Is it cliques? Is it guys?
Yeah.
Explain to us what actually occurs.
Yeah, there are cliques because you got guys that like Jimmy Butler, and you got guys that hang out with Wiggins and Towns. So when just like you and myself and Mike, guys talking about you and Mike and talking to me about you and Mike, I'm not going to be a happy camper. It's the same with these guys. I mean, we're friends. At the end of the day, it's just a sport. But these guys might be together for years and years, even after their careers are over. So you don't want guys talking negative about your friends. That it wears on people, and it filters down into the locker room, and then you become a fractured team, which is usually a losing team. So you might make the playoffs and be the eighth seed, or you don't make it at all, and then you're gone fishing early, and it's usually because of behavior.
And you know what, Mike? The other night on Mike and our show, the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com, we had Robert Porche on, the former Detroit Lion defensive end, all-pro defensive end, and he was talking about the locker room atmosphere. And one thing Rob would always say, if a coach would try to point somebody out, coach said, hey, we got guys here not doing their job. Rob was like, tell us who it is.
Right.
Tell us who it is. Be honest. And Rob and his teammate Larry Tharp also joined us. They talk about the best way to have players who are going to play for you and teammates who are going to play together is to have honesty in the locker room.
Would you like for me to lie to you and Mike and we call ourselves going to have a good show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And trust is everything. I mean, when people trying to do the right thing, so there's two kinds of trust. There's some people right. that are loyal to friends that are doing the wrong things, and then that are mm-hmm. people that are really have good character, and they're only loyal to people as long as they're doing the right things. So I'm one of those people doing the right things. I'm no angel, but I know what it takes to be a team. I actually got lucky and won a championship. I won it in the CBA, which is today
right.
is what, the G League, and my coach was yeah. Flip Saunders. Flip Saunders
yeah.
was my coach, rest in peace. And Flip had yeah. one way of doing things. And that was the right way. Guys bonded together, and we were a tough team. I had David Rivers on my team, Jaren
oh,
Jackson.
Wow.
Oh, Jaren Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah, big Jaren Jackson Sr. Kenny
yeah.
Battle. Referee
oh,
Leon.
Wow.
You know, so I've had, David Rivers, Kenny Battle. I've had players on my squad, and Flip put us all together. So we had a lot of different personalities. Flip blended all our personalities together. And then we all got to know each other because we spent time with each other, and then we became a winning team. Trust.
So Derek, real quick before we go, so what was it like for those guys that had big names, and then for some reason their careers didn't go the way that they thought? Because, you know, David Rivers, I think that car accident messed him up when his stomach, yeah. I guess, got cut up. And then Kenny Battle, of course, on those Illinois teams, and then those Illinois teams, and then Al Wood had a pretty good college career too. So, what was it like getting all those guys together, and what were their egos like? You know, now that they're at the CBA, and you guys play for the championship, it was a great moment. But I know a lot of them are saying that I would rather this be the NBA.
Well, actually, we were happy. We were having fun in lacrosse. We had we enjoyed what the situation. You know, they took care of us, and I don't, you know, we had our places. Guys had, you know, we trusted Flip, and Flip was honest with us. What else can you ask?
Yeah.
So we had Flip and Don Zierden were our coaches, and they were always straight up with us. And that right there made guys happy. We were excited to go to practice, and we practiced hard. But that's the only about the only time in my life I was actually happy to get up every morning and go to practice.
Mm.
And we practiced twice a day, and we practiced hard. I had a young man, Vince Hamilton. Vince, I hope you're listening out there in lacrosse. Played for Clemson. So we had players. But practice was something we looked forward to. And you could see it. When we played against other teams, they feared us when we came in the gym. They knew we were all going to stick together. Oh, man, we were like, I swear, man, I felt like we were the Golden State Warriors back then.
Wow.
You know what's funny about that, Ricky, is that you know, lacrosse, of course, is in Wisconsin. I actually got a track offer for lacrosse. Stevens Point, all those schools in, you know, around Wisconsin, but I wanted to get away, and I almost ran for Coach Temple down in Nashville, but I wanted to play basketball. So I had all kind of stuff going on, but it's funny how the lacrosse Catbirds, right?
Yes.
So I remember that team because like, it was in my state, but I almost went over there to, for college to run track. So it's just funny how small of a world it is.
And Derek, you ended up playing 18 years total of professional 16. Basketball? 16. Wow.
Hey, Ricky, and I want to say this. I want to close with this, that you mentioned the 16 years.
You got the last word. Because
it goes by fast. But the thing is, with these kids we're dealing with, you got to get them there first. And that takes behavior. Coaches don't want cancers. So if you're going to teach your kids, you know, I can understand the parents want to have a hand in their kids' careers, which you deserve to do, but do it the right way. Lead these kids the right way and give them opportunity to go out there and succeed and reach their dreams and let them experience what a 10-year or 12-year professional career is like, doing whatever they choose to do.
Yeah. Well, man, we're going to call it a night on that. I want to thank everybody for checking in with us. And thank everybody for their great support of Derek Gervin's As Good As It Gets Basketball podcast and also the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com. For Ricky Hampton, Michael Robinson, and the one and only Derek Gervin, good night. God bless. Take care,
you guys. Have a good night. Take care. Have a good night,
too.
Mike.
All right. Yeah. Okay, you too, Derek.